It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 21 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're going to talk about basketball, but before we get to that, we're going to talk about the number 64. Tony?
A lot of linemen, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
Jim Burke, nose tackle for the 49ers and the New York Giants. Won a couple Super Bowls. Yeah, he's in there. I remember Jim Burke. He was a bad dude. Jerry Kramer, somebody near and dear to Tuttle's heart, although he doesn't remember him, I'm sure.
No. I only know one Kramer.
Hall of Fame guard. He won two Super Bowls for the Packers. Randall McDaniel, Hall of Fame guard for the Minnesota Vikings. Hacksaw Reynolds, linebacker for the Rams and 49ers. He won two Super Bowls. You remember Tom Rafferty, don't you, Greg?
Yeah. Jerry Rafferty's son.
Yeah. guard for the Cowboys. He won a Super Bowl and lost a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who he lost that Super Bowl to?
I imagine it was the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And then Jeff Hardings played for the Jets and the Steelers. He was on the Steelers Super Bowl team that that beat Arizona and had good careers with both the Steelers and the Jets. I thought it was a coup when the Steelers were able to get him. As the Steelers have always had great centers.
Yeah.
Why did they call Hacksaw Reynolds Hacksaw?
I did not research that.
I don't know.
I think he's famous for like sawing a car in half or something.
He may have.
I think that's what I've read.
Yeah, so with a hacksaw. If he did it with a hacksaw, he is a...
I mean, I might have made that up. Somebody out there will fact check me on that.
Yeah, well, yeah, just let Tuttle know. Don't tell me. But you know what my favorite 64 is, don't you? Nintendo 64.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, I loved the Nintendo 64.
Wasn't there a Commodore 64?
Yeah, there was. That was going to be my next thing. I remember the Commodore 64, Tony?
Yeah,
I did. When it came out, it was a keyboard.
We were all mystified how technology had
That computer, man.
Commodore 64 is going to take over the world.
Yeah. It didn't quite do that.
Do you remember the ones that came after and the controllers were like, it was like a phone, like had a number pad on it. And it was weird.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought then that we were in our 60s that Radio Shack wouldn't be a thing?
That's right.
We thought Radio Shack was.
They were the computers back then.
They were.
Yeah.
They were
Tandy.
Tandy computers.
That's right. Anyway, enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to talking about some basketball.
Since 1966, York Gary Autoplex has been serving Southwest Arkansas over 60 years of supporting families, schools, and of course, our scrappers. Just like the scrappers never quit on the field, York Gary has never quit on this community. York Gary Autoplex, celebrating 60 years of service and always going the extra mile.
All right, it's time to talk about the Nashville Scrappers and Scrapperettes. Nashville Scrappers were 3-0 over the break. They beat Cutter Morning Star, Genoa, and Mineral Springs.
None of the games were very close either.
No, they were not very close, and you know they just have a whole lot of different players leading the way there. They're usually led by Demetrius Shelley, by Jonte Taylor, and by Bo Bell. They always do a good job, and when you look at what they did there, just talking about, you know, Cutter Morning Star, Demetrius Shelley had 22 points, Bo Bell 18 points, Jonte Taylor 19, and then they went to Mineral Springs to the Southwest Arkansas Invitational and won that, and same list of suspects, Demetrius Shelley with 22 points, and then 13 points, Jonte Taylor, 29 points, 33 points. I mean, just, playing really, really well. They got a really big ball game coming up Tuesday against Little Rock Mills, who's ranked number one in Class 4A. The Scrappers are ranked number three in Class 4A. So, big ball game for them. I got a chance to talk to Coach Aaron Worthen about the Scrapper so far and about the games coming up and the conference, and we'll hear from him in just a few minutes. They also have a game at DeQueen Friday, which, you know, big game just because, you know, the closeness of the team.
Get there
the
early.
Yeah.
If you want a seat and not watch it standing.
That's right.
Get there early.
Yeah, it'll be a full Coliseum in DeQueen on Friday night.
Y'all save me one courtside.
Okay. I got the perfect place for you. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. Blocker. Yeah. Nashville Scrapperettes, man, they're blowing and going too.
They are.
I mean, they're doing really well. They're 13-3 on the year.
Lost to Bryant over the holiday. Hadn't they beat Bryant earlier in the season?
They beat Bryant at Nashville.
Yeah.
And then in this tournament, they lost to Bryant. Close score, though.
Yeah.
I think. And then they beat El Dorado, handily. They beat Mills handily. They beat Little Rock Central like they owned them.
Yeah.
You know, just beat them bad. And you know, Scrapperettes are one of the best basketball teams in the state. They're the number one ranked Class 4A team. I think overall they were ranked, man, don't hold me to this, but I think sixth.
Yeah, I think over, that's right.
And that's all classifications.
Right.
They were ranked sixth. And I'm telling you, they've taken on all comers, and, you know, they've lost a couple of games to some really good teams. But
they've mostly played up, though.
Oh, yeah.
They've played 16 games. I'm going to guess, and this is a pure guess, 12 or 13 of those have been teams in higher classifications.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and then when they're playing in lower classifications, they played Earl. Yeah. They lost to Earl.
Yeah.
No shame in that, because Earl won that Conway Invitational tournament that they were in. You know,
Earl boys and girls are both number one in the state.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're doing up there at Earl.
Yeah, it's water.
NIL money. I don't know.
it's something, but they're doing really well. I mean, both these teams. I mean, if I had to pick right now, I would pick both these teams to win the conference.
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, I think that's just, you know, based on what we've seen so far, that's, you know, and you never know what's going to happen, but I think that's probably, a good bet right now, which is, you know, especially for the boys. Magnolia hadn't lost a conference game since they came down to this classification. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. They have not lost a conference game since they came down.
I saw the Magnolia boys play at Lake Hamilton in that classic. They're pretty good.
Yeah. And so, that, you know.
The Democrat Gazette had their boys 10 in 4A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, just looking, you know, see what the Scrappers. I'm really interested to see what the boys do against Mills, because that's going to be a really good, that's going to be a tough test for them. And they're playing them at Nashville, so that's good. And then they start into conference play, both them and the Scrapperettes, with DeQueen on Friday night. Like Tony said, you already previewed a little bit. I'm pretty sure I know what that's going to be the game of. it'll be a full Coliseum, so get there early if you want to see.
Okay, I'm here with Coach Aaron Worthen of the Nashville Scrappers. And Coach, looking at your preseason so far, you're 10-0. Played teams from all over the state, all different levels, and just don't know if it really could have went any better.
Up to this point, we've had some things fall our way, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen a couple of, you really hadn't had a whole lot of close games.
We've played well, I'll give us that. There's definitely some things out there that we need to be doing better, but when you look at it, we had a tough one. We had to come back and beat Fountain Lake at their place and got them by 3. Coach Detmering's son, Dylan, he torched us in the first half, but we did a better job containing him a little in the second half. We had Star City down pretty good in the fourth quarter, and they made a hard comeback to close that game to a 10-point game at the end. Fountain Lake, or not Fountain Lake, I talked about Fountain Lake. El Dorado is a good team in 5A that I expect will make a run into the postseason. And they gave us a really good game. They've got two guards that can really score it over there. And then, you know, I'm a Lake Hamilton graduate, so I'm always partial to my Wolves. And I know they're not as good as what Scotty's had recently, but they play really hard, and I feel like he's got some young ones that are going to come along as the season goes. And I mean, as far as point guards go, Vic Easter up there is probably the best we've seen so far.
Well, but you know, you weathered all those and done really well, you know, you've been led by Demetrius Shelley and Jonte Taylor and Bo Bell pretty much for most of those games. And I know you got a lot of other players that are doing well too, because if you don't get to be 10-0 without the whole team performing at a pretty high level. But you know, those three guys kind of the ones leading the way for you so far.
Oh, that's for sure. Those three have it's been a year that we've been looking forward to. Demetrius and Jonte are both seniors for us this year, and they've gone through the grind of figuring out exactly what we need them to do to get to where they're at now. And Demetrius is a tough matchup for a lot of people. He's a strong, big guard who can get to the rack. He finishes well, shoots it well, has a good mid-range game. Jonte is not as big, but he's very, very explosive and can score in bunches. I mean, he had 26 in the first half Saturday against Mineral Springs, and 33 the night before against Genoa Central. So he's really stepped it up here lately. Bo Bell is really taking a step in a good direction. He had a good sophomore year and has really come on and taken his game to the next level. So those three, as far as guards go, I feel like I would put those up against anybody else's guards in 4A. I feel like we've got a really good backcourt with those. And then you mix it up with some of the other pieces that we've got. I've got some good guards that know their role and play it to the best of their ability with seniors Cortez Cooper and Austin Finley. And then junior Xavion Vaughn, he does a great job for us. And then I got a couple of undersized big men that play with a ton of heart in Jalen Staggers and Blake Moody. And there's a sophomore guard that nobody's heard about just because he's been injured. He tore his meniscus at the end of football season. And so we're hoping to have him back down the stretch and hopefully get him for the postseason. And that's Trendon Northcross. And if we can ever get everybody healthy, I feel like we've got a pretty dangerous group.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it. And speaking of going down to the end of the season, we're just beginning conference action. Of course, just mention real quickly, you've got a huge game coming up tomorrow night against Mills, the first-ranked team in the 4A conference, and y'all are third-ranked overall. So that's a big, big, big preseason game right there, and probably a precursor to a state tournament game at some point in time, I would think. Any thoughts on that real quick before we start talking about conference?
Mills is loaded again. They're very, very talented, long, athletic, and they present a lot of challenges. But that's the kind of game that we look forward to. We've kind of had it circled. We went up to their place and played them tough for three quarters last year and just kind of ran out of gas in the fourth. And, you know, we're hoping to have them come in and give them a good game. Like I said, they're very talented. Coach Cooper does a great job with them. But like you said, kind of a measuring stick. We want to see just how we can compete with the teams that we know are going to be on the board at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's a good measuring stick before you get into conference. And talking about conference, the conference is going to be tough this year. I think y'all are probably the best team in the conference. I know you wouldn't say that, but I will. but you know, I think there are a lot of other good teams. Magnolia's always got a good team. Camden Fairview's got a good team. You know, and just talk about a little bit about the conference and what you're going to be going through next month and a half or so.
Yeah, it's like I've been telling the kids for years, until somebody in conference beats Magnolia. They're the top dog, and they have not lost a conference game since they moved over to the 7-4A. And so until somebody knocks them off, they're the team to beat. I do like our group. Don't get me wrong. I love my kids, and I feel like we've got everything we need to do that job. But until somebody does it, they're the measuring stick in our conference. They and Camden Fairview both went to the state semifinals last year. Fairview, they did lose a bunch of seniors, and Herman Gill transferring to El Dorado hurts for sure. But they had a very good group of junior high kids that we got to watch closely a few times last year, including the district championship game against our boys. And they're talented, they're long, and they're very athletic and present their own challenges. And then, you know, you talk outside of those two teams, Arkadelphia with Coach Garrett Gardner, he always does a great job with his kids. They're playing hard and have played a very tough schedule so far. He lost a couple of big pieces, but I know G is going to have his kids ready to go. And then DeQueen is a team that always scares me because of their ability to shoot the ball. If you catch them on the wrong night, they can shoot you out of the gym.
Well, 7-4A is just a really tough conference, but kind of like the preseason games you've been playing, it's getting you ready to move farther on down the road, and that's what you want. You want to be prepared for the regionals, for state, you know, and moving on, and hopefully all the way to Hot Springs at some point in time in March. But you know, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I look forward to seeing how the Scrappers do as they progress into the conference action, and really interested in seeing what happens tomorrow night against Mills. Good luck against them. Hope you beat them.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. I anytime you give me a chance to brag on my kids, I'll take that opportunity. I love this group, and I hope that this gives them a little bit more recognition, and hopefully we can get some extra butts in the seats to watch these kids, because it's a good group.
Well, that's what we're all trying to do, Coach, and just give them some recognition and let people know how hard they play, and you know, for all these teams we cover in Southwest Arkansas, but Scrappers included, you know, people need to get out and watch these kids, because they work really hard and they play a pretty good brand of basketball too. You need to see it. So appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and we'll be talking to you as we move forward into the season.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, and I appreciate everything y'all do.
Thank you.
Need reliable poultry equipment and service? Look no further than Hometown Poultry Supply in Nashville, right next to McDonald's. They carry the brands you know and trust, and they offer 24/7 service and repair because they know their birds can't wait. Whether you're updating, retrofitting, or starting fresh, Hometown Poultry Supply has your back.
Time to talk about the Mena Bearcats and Lady Cats. Mena, 7-6 on the year, went 3-2 over the break, had some good wins, and then had a loss there, and a couple of losses. One was to Earl.
Yeah, the other to Harrison. Yeah. Wins over Marshall, Ashdown, and Cozatot River.
Yeah.
So a good break for the Bearcats. You know, they didn't start the season playing many games, probably because, you know, football and things like that, but they've caught up. They've been playing a lot of basketball here lately.
Yeah, they really have. And start out their conference season Friday at Clarksville. Lady Cats, man, they're 14-2, Tony.
Yeah, they are rolling. Wins a big win over Redwater, 20 points over Horatio, over 30 points over Cozatot River. And Lady Cat basketball rolling. You know, we talked about the volleyball thing before. Mena has volleyball, and how that may hurt girls basketball, and how girls basketball may hurt volleyball. Doesn't seem like it's doing either for Mena right now.
No, that seems like they were really good in volleyball, and they're really good in basketball.
Yeah.
And they've got a couple of games. They're going to play East Stem Tuesday, and then they're going to play at Clarksville along with the boys on Friday. Time to talk Dirk's Outlaw and Lady Outlaw basketball. And
ooh.
Who else would we turn to for that other than the man himself, King Tut?
King Tut.
Big week in Outlaw Land. Lots of basketball last week. The senior Outlaws, senior boys, went 2-1. They played two games in the Kirby Classic. defeated Magnet Cove 63-39. And in that ball game, McLean Smith had 20 points. He had a double-double. He had over 10 rebounds. Harrison Simmons, 15 points. Peyton Beckman, 12. And then the next night, they defeated Ashdown 55-45. And all three of those were in double figures again, is what I was told. I didn't get the stats for it. But and then on Friday night, they were defeated by the Kirby Trojans 71-38. And Peyton Beckman led the way with 16 points. That, I want to point out in that Kirby game, at 71-38 is a big margin. We had a chance to cut that game to 10 points with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Coach Smith for the Trojans called a timeout, and I'm not sure what was said in the huddle. Everybody may not want to know what was said, but they turned it on, and it ended up, you know, the clock running just a matter of minutes later.
You think Marty would do that?
I don't know. He said the magic words, though. As far as the Lady Outlaws go, they also had a big week. They went 3-1. They played at Lake Hamilton in the Classic, and they played one game at Kirby in that Classic. On Monday, they defeated Sheridan 63-33. On Tuesday, they defeated Ashdown at Kirby in that Classic 55-12. Lost a really close game at Lake Hamilton to the Lake Hamilton Lady Wolves 55-52. And I thought at the buzzer, Riley Simmons had hit a half-court shot to tie it up. It went off the back of the iron. Mm-hmm. And then Friday night, they hosted the Kirby Lady Trojans. And listen closely, because you're not hearing this wrong. They defeated the Lady Trojans 73-2.
No, they didn't. 73-2?
73-2. I don't think I've ever seen that. And, you know, there's nothing. You feel bad.
Yeah.
Because even if we have all nine players, we only had seven. But when you sub, you're putting in girls that start for you part of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's all you can do is kind of get out of the press. And, I mean, you can't ask them not to score. Wow.
Well, yeah, of course. But 2 points.
Yeah.
For the Lady Trojans.
You think the four of us could have scored two?
Oh, no. Maybe.
I think we could have.
Yeah, probably two.
And that's the only game that I really have stats for, and I'm going to mention all of them. Addison Hill led the way with 14, Rayleigh Walston 12, Riley Simmons 12, Savannah Tedford 11, Kaylin Coulter 10. So you got five girls in double figures. Then Aspen Pugh 8 and Presley Pugh 6. So everybody in the action scoring. And just big win for the Lady Outlaws. Three of them last week. And like I say, the loss to Lake Hamilton was a close one against a really good team. This week, both teams have the same schedule. They're at home. Tuesday night, they host Spring Hill conference action. And then Thursday night, Foreman in conference action. I also want to mention, while we're talking about it, McLean Smith. You know, like I say, he had a good week on the basketball court, but he also got some accolades on the football field as he was named to the Democrat Gazette's all-underclassmen team with right around 30 tackles, I believe, on the season. He was nominated on the defensive side, but they also mentioned that he had nearly 1,500 yards of offense and 25 touchdowns. So congratulations to McLean. And before we get off of the Howard County section there, the Umpire Junior Tournament. I try to mention that. You know, it's the oldest tournament in the state, I believe. And if you hadn't been there, you got to go see this. I think they've redone their gym so they can keep hosting stuff. I think they were on the verge of closing down the Umpire Gym, and they had to do a lot of modifications over the summer. And it starts on the 10th, which will be Saturday.
They didn't make it any bigger, did they?
I don't think they did. I don't think it's going to hold any more people, and the gym's not even bigger. I mean, the court. But it starts on the 10th with a full day of basketball. And I know the Junior Outlaws play, I believe, a 6:30 game Saturday night. I'm not positive. The Junior Lady Outlaws got a bye, so they're in the semifinals. But, man, there's a lot of good basketball up there and a lot of good junior high teams, so umpire junior tournament coming up. Don't forget about it.
Nice.
All right.
Jobs.pilgrims.com. That is the website to go to see everything that Pilgrims offers in the way of careers. The leading global provider of high-quality food products, including well-recognized brands and value-added premium products. As one of the world's largest poultry producers and a fully integrated pork producer, Pilgrims has provided wholesome quality products to customers and consumers for more than seven decades. And they have over 58,000 team members, taking great pride in providing more than 133 million daily servings of protein to retailers, restaurants, food service providers, and consumers around the world. The company includes 39 production facilities and 27 prepared food facilities in 14 states, the UK, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Europe. Pilgrims is proud to partner with more than 4,900 family farms for poultry and over 6,300 family farms for hog and lamb supplies. Their vision guides everything they do to be the best and the most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. I'm talking hourly production, plant operations and support, drivers, research and development, quality assurance and food safety, human resources, sales and marketing, accounting and finance, professional opportunities. If you think you could be an asset to the company, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com and even check out their benefits, better futures, insurance, growth. There is no better company to take ownership of your career growth than JBS. Explore the opportunities for development with a global food company. Take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development learning program offerings, online learning and ad hoc courses, 401ks. With your 401k, they offer company match, long-term tax benefits, investment options, and geographic flexibility. And of course, paid holidays and time off. So all of your benefits taken care of, your career taken care of, absolutely amazing. And that's not even to get into their community action that they take here, right here in Southwest Arkansas and all over. Whether it's community events, fundraisers, you can always see Pilgrims participating in some form or fashion, whether it's providing chicken for fundraisers and just so much more. They're always a huge member of the community. They employ so many people here, and it's a perfect fit for our podcast. Of course, we love having Pilgrims on. It makes total sense, and they're big supporters of all the local sports in the area, always big supporters of our radio station and everything. So we're so appreciative to have them on board. And if you're interested in joining their team, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com.
Let's talk about the Costot River Eagles and Lady Eagles. The Eagles are 2-11 on the year, but they went 2-1 over the break, so they got a couple of wins.
Yeah, beat Magnet Cove, and Horatio lost to Mena in their own Christmas tournament. Texting back and forth with Coach Barrett. That was a really successful tournament. Their people really came through, and we've played in that tournament before. It's been really, really well ran. So
yeah,
congratulations to them.
Yeah, Lady Eagles now 5-7. They went 1-1. Over the break,
beat Ashdown and lost to Mena. Like, again, Lady Cats having a big year. Both teams will play at Paris Tuesday, and then Friday, the Eagles will be at Subiaco Academy. Is that
yes, Subiaco?
Subiaco Academy. Yeah,
you know why the girls aren't playing Subiaco?
It's all boys, isn't it?
That's right. It's a boys' school.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're in the conference.
Yeah,
I believe. So and we can talk about some of that stuff when we get to the other stuff, but
sure.
Some conference changes coming up for next year.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect Costot River somewhat. But anyway, congratulations to both the Eagles and Lady Eagles for getting a couple of wins there during the Christmas break.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen. Give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. And you can schedule your appointment today or ask any questions that you might need. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule your appointment or ask any questions with Ashdown Veterinary Clinic as as well. Martin Veterinary Services has been a proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air since the very beginning, and we appreciate them so much for that, and not only that, what they do for the community, and that is offer high-quality veterinary services to everybody here, whether it's just simple stuff, spaying and neutering, or medications, checkups, and things like that, down to more serious things. You can trust Martin Veterinary Services to take care of you, and don't just take my word for it. There are a ton of good reviews on Google and across the board. You can check out their Facebook page as well, DeQueen Animal Hospital /Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, and hundreds of reviews, all 5 stars. And, you know, you always need to be able to trust the person that you're taking your pets to, and Martin Veterinary Services is the one. I have used them for multiple occasions, whether it's with my dogs or my cats, and they've been an absolute delight. Such a blessing to have them in this community offering these services. So we appreciate them so much, and you can go to DeQueen Animal Hospital or Ashdown Veterinary Clinic today for all your veterinary needs. It's time now for my favorite segment of the show, and that is the award show, where we get to hand out all kinds of different awards every single week to outstanding players.
All right. And we're going to go down the list here. The Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week is going to be...
It's going to be Caden Lindley, who had a great tournament in Jesseville.
And the Domtar Panther Player of the Week...
going to be Bryson French.
What?
I know, it's a shocker.
Yeah, we've heard his name a few times, haven't we?
Yep.
The Horatio State Bank Horatio Line Player of the Week will be this week.
It's going to be Natalie Dorsey.
And the Horatio State Bank Foreman Gator Player of the Week,
Victron Moore, one of our favorite names to say.
Yeah, love Victron. Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week,
Ava Baslier, MVP of the tournament that they played in over the holiday.
Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week,
McLean Smith.
All right. Both football and basketball for him last week.
Absolutely.
Great week for the young man. Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week.
A no relation to Jim, Maddox Plunkett of the Bearcats.
And Stillwell Restaurant Warriors Player of the Week. They did not play, but we wanted to mention Stillwell's for sponsoring them. We appreciate that so much. Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week.
It's going to be Jade Watkins. She had 12 points in the win versus Ashdown.
The Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area now.
Going to be the Lady Cats, Molly Sharp.
Okay, and the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area.
Going to be the Eagles, Nathan White, double-doubles in their games over the holidays.
And the Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area and the winner of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air T-shirt is...
It's going to be Jonte Taylor, who only had 79 points for the week for the Scrappers.
Yeah, great week by Jonte, and congratulations to him for that. One more thing we got to do, DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
Going to be Nashville at DeQueen, and like we said, if you want to watch it seated, you better get there early.
CCCUA.edu. That is UA Cossatot's website for you to find out everything you need to know about applying and enrolling, programs of study, how to pay for college, all of their athletics and apparel, student life, community and workforce, and so much more. Your medical education will start here. UA Cossatot has the third highest college graduation rate in the state of Arkansas and is proud to be the first and only Hispanic-serving institution in the state as a member of the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities. We offer degrees and certificates in more than 24 fields and are a leader in implementing more affordable textbook-free courses and boast a variety of professional industry training certifications, small class sizes, low tuition, and quality online and in-class instruction. UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. And by going to CCCUA.edu, you can find everything you need to know, again, about campus dining and campus maps, the Center for Student Success and Consumer Information, financial aid, textbooks, payments, career pathways, scholarships, and so much more. Find out their vast amount of programs of study on offer, and you can find out how to apply and enroll right from their great website. Check out out the Colts gift shop as well. And you can go to uacasatacolts.com to find out everything you need to know about the Colts, whether it's basketball, soccer, or shooting sports. Any Colts fans can find all the information that they need and merchandise they need on uacasatacolts.com. And go to cccua.edu today. And I think that about wraps up all of the high school sports for the area and for this episode. But now it's time to talk about some more national topics. We love doing that. And this talk is brought to you by Mina Pre-Owned. For all your pre-owned car needs, visit Mina Pre-Owned.
All right. And starting off, it looks like we'll talk about the NFL playoffs. You know,
and I did this before I knew the Steelers won last night.
Yeah. So we know who your favorite is.
Well, by that I meant who would you pick to win it, and who's your dark horse in each conference?
Okay.
So
we're doing each conference.
So my like in the NFC, I think my favorite would be Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I think my dark horse would be the Rams. And you say that's not much of a dark horse. Well, the Rams probably got to win three road games.
Yeah.
To get to the Super Bowl. So to me, that's a dark horse.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take Denver as my favorite. They're in the wrong conference. I guess we'll do the NFC first, right?
Yeah.
So if you go in that conference, you got to say Seattle's a favorite because they're at home and it's so hard to beat them up there.
I'm telling you, with their defenses.
Yeah, and they're really good. And I think that the dark horse that I would take is going to be the Carolina Panthers. I'm kidding. I'm actually going to take the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I think they could do something too.
Their defense is horrid.
Yeah.
My favorite is the Rams, and I'm going with the Bears as my dark horse.
So you think the Rams is your favorite despite them probably having to win three road games to get to the Super Bowl?
I mean, I think until they kind of slacked off the last few weeks, I think they were the hottest team in the league.
Right.
Other than the Patriots, who I'll get to in just a minute.
Okay. All right, well, the AFC – Denver is going to be my favorite, and to no one's surprise, the Steelers are going to be my dark horse. Now, and you just about giggled. I saw it on your face. But I want you to think the Steelers will play at home next week against the Texans, who've not been a juggernaut in the postseason. And you could be left with a Final Four if Pittsburgh can win at home next week of Drake May, Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, and Aaron Rodgers as the four quarterbacks left in the AFC.
I did just about giggle, but it was because I didn't take the Packers as my dark horse in the NFC. Do you want to go or you want me to, Greg?
It doesn't matter.
My favorite in the AFC is the Patriots, and my dark horse is the Jags.
Okay. Interesting. Well, to nobody's surprise, I'm again going to take the Denver Broncos as my favorite.
Second time in this segment.
Yeah, second time, yeah. and you know, and I'd almost take them to win the NFC, too. But unfortunately, they won't get to play for that. But I think that, you know, my dark horse is going to be the Houston Texans. I mean, I think – I don't know – I mean, every time I watch them, I think they're going to lose, and they just beat the other team like a drum.
I never watch them.
Yeah. I just watch them because it's what's on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're on a lot if you don't have an NFL ticket.
Yeah.
And the Saints. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. They are. But anyway, it'd be easy to pick the Bills as a dark horse because I think the Bills, you know, I would be surprised if the Jaguars beat the Bills, but I've been surprised before. I just think that I think when you step into the playoffs in the NFL, more so than maybe any other level, any other pro sport, the games hype up to a different level. And if you hadn't been there before, it's almost it is intimidating. And it may be, you know, it's you got to be really good. You don't see very many first-year teams just blow through the playoffs.
No, and that's one of the reasons I think the Steelers have a chance to be a dark horse.
That's right.
Because Aaron Rodgers is flinging the ball around pretty good right now. They get DK Metcalf back next week. They play at home next week. It's going to be raucous.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility that Aaron Rodgers is going to be left in the AFC with three very inexperienced quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I like the Bills kind of like I would the Packers, you know, if they had home games. I mean, those are tough environments to play. I love cold weather football. And I mean, you got the Steelers, the Broncos.
The Patriots.
Patriots. I forget about the Patriots being a home team, yeah. The Bears, you know, is one of those cold weather teams that they just kind of all, I don't, you know, you'd like to have it all the way through. And
yeah. Yep.
Well, I feel like I was really saying nothing there.
Well, that's okay. No, you were saying something that made total sense. If you, you know, I think one a team from the North, such as the Patriots, the Bills, the Steelers, you know, the Bears, you know, somebody like that, if they've got home field advantage all the way through, it's a big advantage because guys that don't play in the cold all the time, you know, there's teams that don't play in the cold ever.
Yeah.
The whole year.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially now, I mean, they're either indoors a lot of times or they're playing well, where it's not cold.
I get up today how the Chargers can be. They're fired up to go to New England and play. They're not fired up to go to New England and play the Patriots.
Nobody wants to go.
And, you know, some of these cold weather teams building new stadiums and they're going to be domes is the Bills that are building a dome stadium.
I did not know. I know they're getting a new stadium. I did not know
it was domed. Sure. One of them I know I seen the other day building a new one that's going to be a dome. It might not be the Bills. I have a Bills aficionado.
There's a lot of Vikings fans that think that that building a dome stadium took away their edge. Yeah, you know, they're in a division with a bunch of cold weather teams.
Yeah.
And you know, now they're the San Diego Chargers of the NFC North.
Yeah.
I tell you what took away their edge.
The Chargers aren't even in San Diego anymore.
I'll tell you what took away the Vikings' edge was deciding J.J. McCarthy was the quarterback.
Letting Sam Darnold walk.
Letting Sam Darnold go.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Anything else on the playoffs right now?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, got the college football playoffs going. I mean, you know, we talked about that last week. We didn't get Tony's picks, but I didn't do too well because I picked Alabama. Ooh, they got whooped.
The band Alabama's in the transfer portal. They're going to be known as Indiana now.
I understand that for sure. But you know, when you talk about, you know, those games, the Ole Miss-Georgia game was a great game. The Miami-Ohio State game was a great game. And the other two were not much. You know,
Ole Miss-Georgia game is the only one that I missed.
Oregon,
well, that was a great game.
Oregon played
Texas Tech,
and they wore them out. And then you got Alabama. I mean, they look like they had never played football before.
And again, being a G5 guy, you know, right after those games, the G5 shouldn't get a spot, something like that. How do you lose to Oregon by 17 or 20 or whatever? And I think Tulane's was worse than that. And then Alabama loses by 35. Nobody says a word. Crickets. Yeah. So don't blast the G5s if you're not going to say a word when Alabama gets waylaid.
One way
there were people saying stuff.
One way you lose to Oregon like that is by talking trash about them not winning over James Madison by any more than they did, so they go ahead and punch another one in on you with under a minute left. I mean,
that's true.
Well, they end up beating Texas Tech worse than they beat James Madison.
And I think that's why they did that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it is part of it. But, you know, so you got you want to pick these games? Sure. Who are you going to pick?
Well, I'm going to pick with my heart. I hope Ole Miss wins the whole thing now that Lane Kiffin's not there. It's really they're kind of carrying the flame for the SEC now too. So, so I'm going to pick Ole Miss over Miami.
Well, you know, I told y'all early in the football season, I think about week three or four, Miami was the best team in college football. So I'm going to pick Ole Miss.
Well, you backed off that a little bit, too.
So you're going to pick Ole Miss.
I'm going to pick Ole Miss.
Well, so, that's about the logic I expect you to go with.
So I'm going to pick both of them at the same time as I've been picking last. I'm going to pick. So what I'm going to tell you is, here's what I'm picking first with my – this is my heart picks. Ole Miss to win that game and Indiana to win the other game. I believe that Miami's going to win and Oregon's going to win.
So wow. You've basically picked all four teams to win. I mean,
well, I told you my heart pick. Those were my heart picks.
So those don't count.
No, those are just ones I hope would win. I would love for Ole Miss to win because the only thing that makes me, one of the things that's really irritating to me is they worked out a deal where he still gets paid, even though he's not there.
But LSU's paying him, not Ole Miss.
The money?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
LSU, his deal with LSU was that he would not miss out on any of the bonuses that he was going to get for Ole Miss advancing. So LSU's paying him and not Ole Miss.
Okay. So, but anyway, I still don't like him getting the money. But the one thing he won't get is a ring.
Just think what he'll get if he's president of Venezuela.
Yeah, that's true. So,
which he's considering is what I...
So just to backtrack a little bit, who did you actually pick?
I actually picked Oregon and Miami.
Okay. Well, I've got Ole Miss, and in the second game, I'm going to take Indiana. They're impressive.
Without knowing anything, I'm going Miami and Oregon, and I feel some QB music right now.
No, that's all circus music you've been listening to.
It is just hard for me to imagine a team that dismantled Alabama the way Indiana did losing to Oregon. So I'm going to pick Ole Miss in Indiana.
Hmm. Can't argue with you.
You didn't say that when I picked them. Well, you kind of like you wanted to argue.
Because I'm going to argue with you. Yeah, I want to argue with you. But I think that –
Did y'all see where Alabama tried to run that trick play early in the game and end up calling timeout and the look on Cignetti's face when
– Yeah.
Cignetti looks – he kind of looks like a – maybe an assistant principal that's a little strict, little.
I think he looks like a guy that's part of the mob.
Yeah, yeah. Cignetti?
Yeah.
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 Consigliere.
Yeah, that's what he is.
His dad was a football coach. He was actually a football coach at West Virginia.
Oh, really?
And was fired. Oh. Was a terrible football coach.
Huh.
Saban was one of his assistants. I seen on something the other day.
Well, he was one of Saban's assistants, right?
Cignetti was. Yep. This Cignetti was.
No, yeah. This one was. Saban was his dad's assistant.
Oh, somewhere. Really? Well, Saban's from West Virginia. Yeah, he is. That could definitely be the case.
The article I was reading that talked about how it came full circle.
Yeah.
You know, with.
But did you see where Cignetti, the junior Cignetti, said that he only spent 1 year with Saban. He thought he had learned everything he could learn in that year. he's a cocky guy, man.
And he's the head coach for Alabama?
He's the head coach for Indiana.
Or Indiana? Yeah, okay.
Well,
wow.
He was at JMU before then. And, I mean,
no,
again, when we talked
that.
About yeah, back when Arkansas was looking for a football coach, you know, and maybe they did. Maybe this Silverfield guy is going to be the guy. But give Indiana credit. They went out and they thought they went out and they thought they found their most upside guy. And he has ended up being the most upside guy.
Well, my deal is no shade to him. He's done an outstanding job. Let's see what he does over the next 5 years.
Yeah. Will he stay in Indiana?
If I were him, I would not.
Right.
Because unless they got, you know, and of course it all goes that back. We talk about this all the time. It all goes back to how much money he's getting.
Right.
You know, to buy players. Because – you can say whatever you want to. Dabo Swinney's a perfect example of what happens when you don't spend money on players.
Who hired Chad Morris back as his offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
That's got to be
hammer down left lane.
That's got to be. So you're saying that's got to be the death knell for Dabo Swinney.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because Clemson before this all started was considered one of the top 10 programs in the country, right?
Yeah.
And they are so insignificant now. Nobody even knows who Dabo is anymore.
Yeah, they're irrelevant.
Yeah, and it simply goes to the fact that he chose not to use this NIL money to buy players, and that's what everybody's doing now. Who knows what Cignetti's doing up there? I mean, I don't have any idea how much money they've got. But if they don't, I would assume it's not going to be the money that Lane Kiffin's got at LSU or the Tulane coach has got at Florida or the Michigan coach has got now.
Did it break your heart that Ryan Day got beat?
No. No. Never. Because, you know, I'm going to assume they got more money than probably anybody.
They've got to be in the top 10 or 5
of
NIL money.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, Notre Dame's going to have more than anybody.
You would think.
Yeah.
So you're saying Cignetti's a hot ticket item right now?
Well, I think he better make hay while the sun's shining is what I'm saying. Because staying in Indiana is not going to be good in the long run for him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, here's the deal with me is I think coaching's overrated to a certain extent. If you got the players, you can win 99% of the time.
Right.
And now coaching, there is some coaching involved in it, but I'm just saying when Saban was at Alabama, his third string players were better than the first string players at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're going to win 9 out of 10 times with that.
Yeah.
Coaching doesn't matter. Y'all agree with that?
All coaches, please tune in again next week.
I'm not saying there's nothing.
Your email to Greg Revels.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, whatever. You're going to have to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
It's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmies and Joes. That's what they say all the time, right?
It is what they say.
Yep. And
so Cignetti, strike while the iron's hot, because after he retires from football, they're going to put him to be like a corrupt PO officer.
Well, and the thing
PO
is,
officer.
There were so many high-profile jobs, which we'll talk about in a little bit, that did he miss his chance to get out of Indiana?
Well, they secured him for a little longer while.
Yeah.
Yeah, when but you know, that don't mean anything.
But if they,
that's true. I mean,
If it goes 6-6 next year, you know,
it'll make a bowl game.
I mean, look what happened to James Franklin.
Yeah,
I mean, you go to James Franklin. Do you really think they stepped up when they got the coach from Iowa State,
Matt Campbell?
Yeah, I don't.
Do you think
so.
They fired James Franklin, saying, "You know what? This is our opportunity to get Iowa State's coach." This is it. This is what we've been waiting on. They messed up big time.
Maybe they thought he was going to bring Brock Purdy back with him. I don't know.
And then Michigan, of course, they had to move on. But Kyle Whittingham, I mean, from what I read online, Utah was ready to be rid of him.
Yeah.
And well, now he's the coach at Michigan.
He retired. And then 3 days later, he takes the Michigan job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not I understand what you say about, you know, going – and I think there's certain programs like Arkansas, for example, where you have to go – Indiana's another one – where you have to go down there and get those coaches that look – they're younger, they're hungry, they're doing good things, and you hope they work out for you.
There is 10% of the Arkansas fan base still thinks they're going to hire Gruden.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Okay.
But what my point is, when you go to – and Michigan was a different story this year because of when it happened and everything was already pretty much done. But when you go to – you take Florida, surely there's somebody that would rather want that job with some name appeal, some – you know, that kind of like Lane Kiffin taking the LSU job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just got to go get them. But instead, they chose the Tulane coach. May work out great. I don't know. But I would just think that, you know, there would be somebody in some of these schools like Texas Tech.
Yeah.
That would want to go to Florida. You know, and you get more, you know, I think when you, I mean, I understand what you're saying about young coaches for schools like Texas Tech, like Arkansas, but Penn State could have had anybody they wanted. They just sit around and waited. And I don't know what they were doing.
No, me either.
I mean, Penn State's one of the best coaching jobs in the country.
Yeah.
I really would. And you know,
I think UNLV's coach wanted the Florida job.
He already had it.
Oh.
Yeah. Talking about Dan Mullen, right? Yeah, yeah. He probably did, but I don't think he could get it. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that you would just think some of these – I just think some of them are kind of strange moves. But I guess nobody wants to move when they're making so much money.
Yeah.
And that may be what it is too. So, you know, it's hard to get people to do like Lane Kiffin unless, you know, he probably made $25 million making that move.
Yeah. But, you know, expectations are a lot higher now too. I mean, Ole Miss probably be happy winning 9 or 10 games a year and – you know, being in the conversation every 2 or 3 years. Now he's at a place where, I mean, it's national championship or bust. Mm. Boy, how long do they think they'll give him to win a national championship? 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. NFL jobs are about to start opening up.
Yeah.
Which is
a lot of people think that's what Cignetti's waiting on.
And that's a whole different ball game because, you know, they'll just hire coordinators and then fire them 5 games into the next season if they're not 5-0. I mean,
yeah. Think Mike Tomlin probably saved his job for another year last night.
I think he already had. I
don't think the Steelers would have moved on from him.
No. I think it's going to be up to him.
Yeah.
And so, I think him moving on now is probably, he's not that old, though.
We 54.
Yeah. I mean, he's been coaching for 20-plus years. Right.
He's coached. This is his 19th year with the Steelers.
Okay. So 19 years as head coach. Okay. Yeah.
Somebody fired their head coach and GM last night. I won't say it was the Falcons.
Well, the Falcons, yeah, they've moved on. Cleveland fired Bill Stowers, that exuberant scream you heard from Angel Walk Lane this morning was the Browns moving on from Kevin Stefanski, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Well, they change coaches almost as much as they change quarterbacks.
They do.
That's why they're having to move on from him because he let Baker Mayfield go.
Has he been there?
I wonder how long they used to be out. I knew how many quarterbacks the Browns had in the time Roethlisberger had been at Pittsburgh. I wonder how many coaches the Browns have had since Mike Tomlin's been at Pittsburgh.
No, that's crazy. I mean, you know, the thing about it is you got to have some continuity.
You do.
And if you don't have continuity, you can't ever develop
anything.
The
Steelers don't have anything else figured out. They got that figured out.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, anyway, anything else about coaches? You want to talk about anybody else? Or
you know? No, I mean, you've run them all down. You've already run all the coaches down. I don't want any part of it. Great job, coaches.
I run them all down. Did I run them down?
Coaching don't matter.
I don't think that's what I said.
I said
it doesn't matter as much as people think it does.
I back you up on that. I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. The spiritual leader,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, there's things you got to do, and you got to make sure it works. But if you ain't got the athletes, you know, you're not going to win 9 times out of 10.
I would say this. How many kids are at Indiana right now you think could play at Alabama?
Right now, well, that would get the chance to play before the season started.
Yeah,
probably zero.
Yeah,
now, I was going to say now, the Heisman
right
Trophy
now.
Winner.
Right now, it's a different story.
I'm just saying in that game, and I expected Alabama to win that game. It looked like Cignetti was running circles around Alabama's coaches.
The Heisman Trophy winner wouldn't be the starting quarterback at Alabama.
Yeah.
What's the limits on being able to play college football? Like, can like what's the limit? You know, like as far as
like age limit?
You think about it?
Is there an age? No,
there's not an age limit.
Well, I was thinking about like if a guy retires from the NFL and then goes to goes to work on his criminal justice degree.
Unless
that he never
you've been drafted into the NBA and enroll at Baylor to play basketball.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a whole nother story. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we can talk about that. But I mean, you if you've been in the pros, you can't play college football.
All right,
but you can play pro baseball, and then,
because the college that's amateurs.
Yeah. Right. Some places it is. Apparently it is at Arkansas. They look for the amateurs this year.
Weekend football enthusiasts.
Yeah. let's talk about Razorback basketball for a minute.
Big win.
Yeah, big win against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
they volunteered for a butt whooping.
That's right, and they got it.
Nice.
It really got to go to that game, really enjoyed it. It was incredibly loud in there. One of the things about the Razorbacks this year, I believe, they've got a team that is, with the advantage they have at Bud Walton, they're going to have a really good home record. Now, when you go on the road in the SEC, man, there's no telling what's going to happen to you. I mean, they're sitting there watching that game Saturday. There were calls that I thought, man, we're not getting that if we're not here. You know, and I'm talking about several of them.
Yeah.
And that happens to every team.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to us when we go on the road. And I mean, I'd say there was a minimum of a 10-point difference on road versus home games and in the SEC, which should not be that way.
No.
I took two things away from that game. First, we might have the best guard in the nation. And second, that Brazil kid can jump.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Who's the best? Who's the best guard? Who is that?
Darius Acuff Jr.
Acuff, yeah.
Huh. In relation that's to Roy. Cool.
Nephew.
Who?
Roy
Acuff.
Roy, yeah. Yeah, right.
Roy couldn't spin the ball like him. But.
No, he sure couldn't. But they got well, and the other freshman guard,
Thomas or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's no slouch either.
Well, you know,
I think I mentioned that.
Huh?
They're going to be back next year? They'll get scooped up.
I think I mentioned that on here. You know, at one time I watched them in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
After high school, and Thomas was more impressive to me.
Yeah.
Now, taking it up to this level, Acuff is, he's showing out.
Yeah.
But they'll get scooped up, huh?
Oh yeah, I don't think. Acuff for sure. You know, but the thing about it is with, and again, I know I keep harping on this stuff, but with NIL money, you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah,
because they pay them so much to play. Yeah. There's no telling what Acuff's getting.
We were talking about that the other day. I bet he's getting $2 to $3 million.
Yeah,
from Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, yeah, or from the NIL stuff.
Sure.
And if somebody's going to continue to pay him that, you might keep him another year. But, you know, I was reading one of those Razorback boards the other day, and they said, you know, he's going to be the greatest player to ever wear a Razorback jersey. Well, I take that as, like, career. And I said, he won't be here long enough.
Yeah.
I mean, the days of Cordless and Thurman and them hanging around for 3 to 4 years is over.
Yeah. Yeah, or Joe Johnson.
This is his first year?
Joe Johnson.
This is his first
year.
Yeah,
he's freshman. The Thomas – he's a freshman. They had one of them had 29 points and another one had 18, which was, you know, I didn't think we could win if Brazil didn't score. He scored 7.
And, you know, that Sealy kid is a freshman.
Yeah.
And he was right there with them coming in name-wise, and he just doesn't get the minutes they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's unrealistic. I just like the idea of being, like, the best guard in the nation, but sticking with a team that's, you know, might not be the best team in the nation, you know, but picking them up and doing amazing things. And instead, like, you just go to a team, somebody pays you an enormous amount of money, and then what? Maybe you don't play as much. Maybe you don't make an impact on that team. And
you see, it's like last year, we had one of the best guards in the nation.
I was just fixing that.
Huh?
I was just fixing to mention that.
But guess what he did? He didn't go pro. He went to Florida. One of our foes in SEC.
Sure.
You know, so that's kind of.
Yeah, he was
so
hurt.
That's something.
So he got more than enough money to go there.
To stay in college. So you think.
Yeah.
So you could just leave college and go right to pro.
You can. But, you know, with the money that these kids are getting, they may. you know, instead of playing 82 games plus playoff games, they're playing 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So they're playing half as many games. They're getting, if not the same money, almost the same. It depends on where you get drafted. So mm-hmm. you don't know if you, you know, if you don't get drafted in the first 13 picks, mm-hmm. you're really not making, they made more, he made more money going to Florida.
Right.
And we never really got to see what Boogie Flynn had. I mean, he started out the year right. good. Then he was hurt off yep. and on the rest of the year.
Yep.
And everybody, you know, looked forward to this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone.
Yep. Did he do, is, for he the doing, money. Is he doing well in Florida?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Well, darn, man. It's just such a sad thing.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it would be like this.
Well, and that's kind of, I mean, that's just what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But one more thing I want to talk about real quickly before we go is the AAA and the new conference alignments.
We don't have enough time on this side of the show.
That's why I wanted to make sure Tony got in on this.
Yeah. You just reeled the coaches back in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think one of the things about them is I don't know why they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But it did involve – I wasn't going to talk about that. Basically, what I want to talk about is just the changes in conference. I mean, when you look at the conference changes for the 5A South, right, 5A South,
mm-hmm.
they took out Hope, which moved down. Arkansas High moved up. No. They didn't move up. Parkview went somewhere else. And then they give us two Pine Bluff teams. How can that be – that's not South.
Mm.
That's not South.
It's south of Little Rock.
Yeah, that's I know.
Well, that's where the center. Nobody else matters.
Center
that's,
of the universe.
Yeah, that and Fayetteville. Other than that, nobody else matters.
Yep.
Were they?
They might as well put them in a hat like a dang Christmas, gift giveaway, and
that's what I was thinking.
And draw them out.
Maybe they're throwing darts at them.
Here's the deal with me. Those guys, we know better. We know better than you. We know better than your ADs. We know better than your coaches. You guys can't make your own schedules. We got to do it for you because we're smarter than you are.
Right.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Just I don't get me started on
it. Well, that's right. That's right. I think it was ridiculous. And for us to go to Pine Bluff here's the deal is, if we were going to do that, I just soon stayed with Parkview. Mm-hmm. At least you get to go to Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pine Bluff, it's harder to get to for us. It'll take longer, and there's not as much there.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's really not in Pine Bluff. It's on the river out there somewhere, isn't it? But anyway.
Well, if it had went the way that it looked like it might go for a while, we were going to lose Arkansas High too, and got all three Pine Bluff schools.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
We got two the way it was.
Yep. But looking at some of the other schools, I think Costaic River in football is moving down and playing in a ratios conference. Is that true?
I think so.
Yeah, so they were up going up that way, I thought, but now they're coming down this way. So they're going to be – they're Costaic River, that conference is going all the way from there all the way to El Dorado.
Hmm.
Because that's where Parker's Chapel is.
I still think that's probably good for the Eagles, though.
Yeah.
Because just the competitiveness of the two conferences and
attendance.
I know. Right. That wasn't what Coach Barrett wanted ideally. He wanted to get to play 2A for a season or two.
Yeah.
Ideally. But I think of what it could have been versus what it is, it's better than it was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you go up to Lavaca and Boonville and Hackett, and they got some good football teams up there too. So, and not that they don't down here, but I think it may be a better fit for them. You're right, but any changes in y'all's conference?
Lafayette County went to 8-man.
That's right,
and that's it.
So y'all just lost them. You didn't gain anybody.
No.
Okay. So. Yeah, I forgot about which is
Derek's not, will be looking for a non-conference game.
I think they're having trouble finding one too.
This is like weird AAA gerrymandering. just carving out weird conference.
You know, talking about here's another thing that, and this is kind of personal for me, but you know, I think that we put this pretense out about education, and that's not what we're about here, but not at all. But
anybody that listens knows that.
Yeah, that's right. But if you want to say education comes first, and so this week we've got a game Friday night against the Nashville Scrappers,
mm-hmm.
the closest team to us which is 45, we'll say 45 minutes to get from gym to gym, right?
Yeah.
So we get to play on we get to play them Friday night. Guess who we play Tuesday night? Camden Fairview, at Camden Fairview, which is a 3.5 hour bus ride. So you're screwing up 2 days of school,
yeah,
for those kids.
For sure.
When you could have just, I mean, why do you not have those closer games? You know, that's the farthest away we go, right? Camden.
Yeah, it's further Magnolia. Yeah,
it's a lot. Yeah, it's an hour further than Magnolia almost, but maybe not quite. But anyway, so you go, you know, you go there. Let's do that on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, but you know, they've done that every year, haven't they, Tony?
They've never played them in the middle of the week.
They've never changed it, and it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Do you think that's AAA, or do you think
that's not AAA. I think that's conference. I think the conferences, they set their schedules.
Coaches again?
Yeah. I think the coaches and the athletic director set those schedules. But I don't, you know, and I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, I mean, and I'm sure there's some kind of reasonable explanation for it. I have no idea who Nashville's playing next Tuesday night. But I know that Nashville's 45 minutes closer to all of them than we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to make somebody travel, let's make them travel.
Yeah.
That to those other places. I mean, I just think that when you go that start going that far, that's detrimental to the education of kids.
That's don't say you're about education when you're sending us to Camden Fairview on a Tuesday night.
That's right.
You know, let's not pretend. Don't pretend like we're idiots.
Right.
Yeah. And you know,
now, we may very well be idiots, but don't pretend like I'm.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I was going to say, let us prove it.
Yeah,
which won't take long. but you know, I just think that there's
just give me a chance.
Yeah. but you know, I just think that there, you know, there's things, you know, not only for the kids, but for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people don't go that would go because it's a night when they got to go to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume there's some.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, it's just the way it is. But
so you'd prefer they'd be like, and we put Camden in the middle of the week because we don't care. And so take that and then just move on, right?
Well, you know, and they'll give you some reason.
Some reason,
but yeah. What I'm telling you is, that is the farthest trip anybody in our conference has to make in basketball.
Queen to Camden.
Yeah, or Camden to Queen, either way. Yeah. Those games should be on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just what
it's
I
fair.
Say.
It's fair.
And everybody in the conference ought to understand that and agree to it.
Yep.
And
it wouldn't take any. Like, it wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to have to change the schedule a little bit. Somehow, I don't know how, but
whiteout.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just
an eraser.
Well, yeah,
that's a lot of work.
They don't have any erasers. That's the problem.
Printing a new page.
Yeah, I know people. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, whatever.
They don't say it, right? They don't have their reasons or anything.
Well, they don't have to.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody does.
Right.
You know, and I'm not being. So you look at, so the next game, the Tuesday game that Nashville has is at Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So they could play Hope Friday night, and we could play them on Tuesday night, and we could play Camden Fairview on Friday night.
Sure.
So
that could, so, would, should.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know.
Me personally, though, I do like to get any, like, hard work done during the work week, so that Friday I'm like a little bit more, you know,
yeah,
got more time.
And you know, the real thing that bothers me about it is because we don't get to eat at the sandbar.
Yeah, that's what
we would. We probably would on Friday.
Yeah,
we'd go after the games on Friday, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Let's not have you treat us like we're idiots too. State your reason why.
Hey, I'll state it. Yeah. It don't bother me none.
I want a steak.
For the record, our game at Camden is on a Friday.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Our game at Camden's on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of them is and one of them's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Half and half.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
So, anything else?
Hey, I think we're done, man.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything else they want to talk about?
Just in the border of Texas, Classic, the Tuttle mm-hmm. named. One, a couple of things, observations I have. Man, I'm glad Arkansas has a shot clock, which I wasn't sure about when it came in. And man, I'm glad Arkansas has a mercy rule, because Texas evidently does not. Or when you're maybe you're playing a team from another state, they do not. But they need one.
Well, they don't have shot clocks because there weren't any there.
No.
And you know, and shot clocks make the games much, much more interesting, in my opinion.
I agree. And then you know, in the blowout games that we beat Atlanta, and then especially Airline, those games should have been over with before they were, and there was nearly fights at the end of them because you're just drawing it out. You know, drawing it out. And then you get in the last 3 or 4 minutes of a 30 or 35 point game, the officials don't want to call anything.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why it gets out of hand. Mm-hmm. Well, because you didn't want to call anything, because there's no mercy rule, and we go back. So, all right.
Yep. Yep.
They don't have shot clocks, and I think junior high in Arkansas should start a shot clock.
Get them used to it?
Yeah. I think so, too. You might could make it a little longer, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but even if you didn't, I don't think it'd be a big deal.
I'd have to create a new shot clock. I don't know what they go for.
Well, then let's leave it the same. I don't want to make it too hard. Okay. But I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. I think it'd be good for the game. So, anyway, appreciate you remembering that, because we did talk about that quite a bit. But so... That's it for this week. We appreciate all our sponsors for giving us the opportunity to do this and make idiots out of ourselves so everybody knows it. We appreciate the coaches and all they do for us. They help us out so much, and they do such a great job every week, all week long, and getting us the information.
What a suck up.
Yeah, absolutely needed and necessary. All right.
But they do a great job getting us the information. We appreciate them and so much. But most of all, we appreciate the kids, and that's why we do it. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Go Packers. See you next week.